Welcome to Bring on the Mess, a show where we have real conversations about how to embrace life's messiness and how we find ways to show up and uncover our true selves. I'm Beth Ann Dorman, the CEO at For All Seasons.
And I'm Lisa Lee, the Chief Clinical Officer at For All Seasons.
Well, it's a time to talk about connection.
Mm-hmm.
Connection when we're in a time right now where there's lots of reasons to be divided, or at least people believe there are reasons to be divided.
And we're divided because we disagree with each other?
Maybe. We're divided because it's easier to be divided than it is to deal with hard stuff.
Ooh, yeah. Walking into hard conversations is a skill that I think sometimes we struggle with because it takes so much. So for me, if I'm going to have a hard conversation with somebody about something maybe we disagree on, in order to stay in that hard conversation, I have to tolerate that my way might not be the right way, or it might be there's a different way.
Or you might not have all the information.
Or I might not have all the information.
I mean, how many times do we walk into hard conversations and we think we know something, and we do that whole assume?
Right.
Which, you know, you look it up. What does assume mean? I can't say it on the podcast. But, you know, basically, when you're assuming something, you're putting yourself in a position of not listening.
Mm-hmm.
Not connecting,
mm-hmm.
and taking a stand over something you might not know.
Right, right. And so I think the first thing that I hear that we have to get better at is really our active listening skills, which is such a funny thing to say, active listening. It sounds so like therapy-ish, but it is really an important skill, is to sit back and not prepare what I'm going to say in defense of, but to really sit back and listen to another person's perspective.
Well, but don't we have to do that all the time, right? Like, even as I'm listening to you, I have to be thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right.
So our brains are trained to be thinking about our response, but how different is it if you sit and just listen?
Right.
And that is not something that we do well all the time.
Yeah. So sit back and listen and really hear what the other person's saying. And if I disagree with what that other person's saying, because maybe I hold a strong belief on something, whether it's political, religious, I don't know, parenting-wise, I have to sit back, consider the other person's perspective. And the other thing I have to do, Beth Ann, is have to recognize when I'm triggered with what somebody else is saying. Because if you have a strong belief on something and I have a strong belief on something and your belief is different than mine, it might trigger me and make me less open to hearing your perspective and then just in a defensive place of, well, that's not right.
Right, right. Well, and look how many times we turn on the television. There's disagreements, there's discourse. You know, if you look at what's happening politically, you know, we're coming towards an election. And so there's lots of discourse, there's lots of opinions being thrown around. There's not a lot of pausing and sitting back. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, this seems like a lot of hard work. Like, I have to really put the work in to be able to come to a conversation authentically. And maybe I'm sitting in a space of, I don't want to work that hard. Maybe as, you know, as you're listening to us, you're thinking, holy moly, that is so much work. I just want to live life and not have to work that hard.
And that's certainly a choice. I think, you know, how you started the podcast, but how you started the podcast was about disconnection. And that's something that does happen when we don't sit back, listen, and dig into things sometimes when they're hard, or when we, and I don't think life has to be hard all the time and jumping into these kinds of conversations, but I do think that there is something to, like, an art of listening, an art of relationships, because again, the cost of that, if we're not mindful, is we are going to be disconnected.
And sometimes we become disconnected when really there's connection in front of us and we miss it.
Okay, so say more about that.
So as you were talking, I'm thinking about when I was in college and I was sort of finding my own space in the social justice self that I've now become. And I remember my dad and I having a pretty big argument about race. And I totally dismissed anything that came out of my dad's mouth. And I was like, you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. I'm right. You're wrong. And my father grew up in the South, but was born in the North. And he when I was finally able to, I think it was like 3 or 4 years later, when I was finally able to sit with my dad, I'd gone through grad school, I was doing a family systems paper. I learned that my father was the, you know, treated like a white Yankee in the Deep South because he was the only white child in his school. Mm-hmm. And so where I was coming from an angle of like, you don't know anything, you don't know anything. He said to me, he's like, look, this was my experience. Mm-hmm. You didn't want to hear my own experience. Mm-hmm. You told me that here was how I should believe. And he said, and my father is the most, he's like the most liberal, loves everyone. There's not a racist bone in his body. He's just this amazing man. But I couldn't get out of my own way to try to say to him, like, this is how you have to behave. And mm-hmm. he and I had this really good conversation because sometimes there was like this great moment of connection. And he and I talk about it a lot. I mean, that was 20 years ago and we still talk about it. Mm-hmm. How I had a different understanding of my father's experience because we could sit and connect.
Right. I love that. I actually had that experience too. You and I think are so funny, like social justice. But something you said was really important, and I was not good at this for a long time because I thought I was right, and I thought I was, you know, as a social worker, having to advocate for, you know, other people. And what I didn't realize was exactly what you said, which is I missed out on the opportunity to hear that person's experience. Mm-hmm. And that person's experience is important because that's how they may see the world, but that was their moment in time. It doesn't mean that it can't shift. And that's right. One of the things that I found is that just because somebody had an experience, it doesn't mean that they have to believe something, whether about a race or a political culture, like, you know, Republican or Democrat. So yeah, no, I appreciate that because I think that if we miss out on hearing about people's experience, we make assumptions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's back to that whole, I'm going to assume I know. Mm-hmm. And I find sometimes when we're trying to connect on things, as we are sort of finding our space in a new topic or we're redefining our space in a topic, sometimes we get into that like righteous place mm-hmm. that can really break down disconnection. I remember when we were going through COVID and there's a town near where our offices are, they had all just stopped talking. It was a really difficult time because signs in the yard, that was really what started this town being completely divided. However you fell politically, there were neighbors that had been friends for years that just stopped talking. And so the community center executive director called me and said, we need you to come down and we need to work with you. And it took us about 6 weeks to put this program together where I could facilitate a conversation in the town about how do we find reconnection? Because people that had been friends for 25 years, it was like masks or no masks. You know, it was back when, is COVID real? Is COVID not real? And it took us, it was like an 8-week series where it took us to get people actually talking and connecting again because there was such a righteousness that had come through people's talk that they forgot about the human connection and the friends and the love and all of the pieces that we need in order to feel connected.
You know, as I was sitting here listening, I'm thinking, like, what happens? Like, why do we get to that place? But then you said something, human connection, and I'm sure that there's lots of reasons. But as I sit back, I think that we forget we're humans talking to humans.
Right.
And, you know, there is something, like, when you talk about righteousness, I do remember when I was a teenager and young into my 20s, there was this righteous, like, I know, like, mm-hmm. I know because I'm in school and this is the way it is and everyone should be treated equal. And I am different now in that I'm more settled. I still believe people have the right to be treated respectfully and equally. But the reality is we're not all treated equally.
Correct.
And so there are things that happen in this country that are real for people and their experiences. But it doesn't mean that I have to go in the way that I used to. Like, I know it all and I'm not going to listen. Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, when you said human, I guess sometimes maybe we dehumanize each other mm-hmm. by the words we call each other because we disagree on, you know, Democrats, Republicans, mask or no mask, Christian, non-Christian, whatever it is, mm-hmm. we push unkind things onto each other,
mm-hmm.
like strong.
Yeah. And, you know, there's two things that come to mind as you were talking. Curiosity mm-hmm. and judgment. And if we can lean into curiosity and if we can stay out of judgment, then human connection has a chance.
I don't disagree at all. But you and I talk a lot about judgment because we know we all judge. Mm-hmm. I mean, Beth Ann and I were giving this training at work, and one of the clinicians said, because the theme is always when we're doing a container exercise, I ask that we stay out of judgment is basically right. the theme. And one of the clinicians was like, we all judge. And so we all sat back. And the reality is that's true. Mm-hmm. It's what we do with it
right.
that matters. And so I might have a thought about, I don't know, what somebody's wearing or, mm-hmm. You know, somebody's opinion. But if I recognize that, excuse me, through maybe a mindfulness of my own, the lens that I'm seeing, and this is like split second, right?
Right, right.
But if I can analyze that through my, like, what lens am I seeing this through and sit back and listen, I don't have to say anything. Or if I do, I can come up, like you said, through curiosity, mm-hmm. say more, or gosh, that outfit's so lively. I wish I had the courage, you know, I'm right. thinking maybe to myself to wear something like that. But it doesn't have to be negative. Mm-hmm. But we have to, I guess that's what you started off with, we have to do the work a little
right,
bit.
Right, we've got
to,
yeah. Because it's so easy to judge. And here's the thing. Brené Brown says that we all judge, and we judge in areas where people are doing better.
Right.
I was watching a Netflix show with my son last night, and at the beginning of the show, there was a funeral scene. And there was the widow, young mom, in a pretty slinky dress. And in the scene, there's two ladies standing off and saying, I can't believe she's wearing something low cut to her husband's funeral. And my son, Brandon, was like, Mom, do people really do that? And I said, yeah, they absolutely do, because they're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. It's death. It's uncomfortable. It's a situation where we sometimes, when we get uncomfortable, when we find ourselves not in the zone of feeling completely settled, that's sometimes where judgment can creep in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good example, too, because again, you know, we have, whether it's generational beliefs or just beliefs in general about what you should wear to a funeral, mm-hmm. what you should wear to church. I mean, so funny, because when I go to church, I'm like, oh, I should be wearing a dress, you know, something nice, but it's pretty casual. And so when I actually wear, like, I'll wear jeans, I'm like, oh my gosh, I feel like that's wrong. Like, what am I doing?
It's so funny. When I grew up, it was a dress. My father was in a suit jacket and a tie. My mother was in a dress. I attend a church now where I lead the praise and worship team in jeans and a t-shirt.
Right, right,
and the whole thing is, like, God doesn't care how you show up. Just show up.
Right, right, right. But, you know, so as I was saying that, it's not just that we externally judge. I do believe that we internally judge, too.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And so what do we do with our external judgment that might drive disconnection?
Right.
And then what do we do with our internal judgment, which I think I could venture to say drives disconnection, like, in ourselves. It's mm-hmm. not a, you know, it's not a compassionate way that we even talk to ourselves sometimes.
And sometimes when that sort of internal record plays, it moves from judgment to anger. Or it moves from judgment to total discontent. And so that's a dangerous place for us to move to when we're thinking about connection. And it's a lot easier to be angry over something than it is to sit and have a conversation about something that's bothering you. And I feel like there's a real pivotal moment when we start to sort of let something brew and we have a choice to sit back and sit in the discomfort, or sometimes it moves into the direction of it's just easier to be pissed off and just angry about something versus actually digging in.
Yeah, no, I think that, again, that's a really important skill. And as you were talking, I was thinking about whether, I mean, if now we go back to sort of the external connection. You know, if I'm in a situation, let's say whether it's at work or, you know, just in life, but maybe we'll just use a work example. If I'm at work, and we're all talking about a topic, and I'm the only one who maybe has, I don't know, like, I don't know if it's a disagreement or, you know, I'm not kind of buying into that belief. How much courage mm-hmm. does it take to say to the group, hey, I think it might be this, or maybe you guys aren't seeing this perspective because going along with the crowd could keep me connected with them, mm-hmm. but then I don't know if the right word is disconnected from myself, or I'm not my true authentic self because I want to fit in or belong or be a part of the group.
And that's where, as you're talking, I think about situations where I can connect with that story, and that's where like resentment starts to brew, or you're not really mm-hmm. on board and you try to pretend like it's all good, but at some point you're going to have to face the fact that you're not on board. And if you haven't stepped into the courage to say, because like there's plenty of situations, work, personal, wherever, where we might not agree, but sometimes we have to own that we don't agree mm-hmm. so that we can continue to connect and live authentically. If you are jumping on board with something that you don't agree with and the perception is it's all good, then eventually there has to be a conversation. And how does that conversation look 2 weeks down the line if you're on a project together at work and you're not agreeing with it, versus could you have had a better conversation in the beginning where there's not sort of that like brewing resentment or anger or things that we hold on to?
You know, that was a hard lesson and a real growing up moment for me. You know, our agency implemented, you know, something new, and it was a real struggle. And I just kept going along with, because mm-hmm. I didn't have a lot of experience in project management. And so, you know, I have a lot of clinical experience, but not project management experience. And I have a lot of people experience. And I kept, you know, hearing the unhappiness of the team. And I just felt so stuck. Like, how do I manage, like, the team and then mm-hmm. the agency? And I just didn't have the courage to step up and speak because, you know, my own insecurities. Mm-hmm. And finally, and here's the great thing, and I will say, I know that this isn't always the case, but we have such a beautiful team. Like, when I finally did say, like, we've got to stop, like, this isn't going to work, and this is going to be not good for our clients and our staff and just the overall morale of the agency, and we were able to work it out. It wasn't right. as big as I think what I managed it in my head. Mm-hmm. And we did, you know, we needed to take some time to experiment to see if it would work or not work. But what I realized, and it's funny because my coworker and I always talk about that her and I, because we do a lot of project management together, her and I might disagree, but we figure out ways to have the hard conversations, be respectful, but our way might not be the right way. We might have to lean on, you know, I might have to say, like, her way is the right way to mm-hmm. go about this. Mm-hmm. And so there is like this internal, I guess, battle that I went through, you know, oh my gosh, you know, they're going to think like bad of me, and like, who am I? You know, I don't have enough experience. She's, you know, she's right. And so I had to battle like internally mm-hmm. to gain more confidence to say, like, Lisa, like, you know what you're doing. Like, you've got to push through this issue. Mm-hmm. And it might not be the right one, but you've got to at least have a voice.
Well, and as you sort of share that story, I think back to how we started the podcast about how we deliver the message and mm-hmm. how we stay connected and how we have those conversations. And one of the things that we haven't really touched on is trust. Mm-hmm. And in order to have connection, there has to be moments of trust built. And so I would imagine, and I have the inside scoop, so I'll pretend like I don't know, but I would imagine that part of what had to happen in that scenario, and I know this to be true, is that you and the other coworker had to build trust first to be able to have the conversation of, we don't agree. Because right. had you attempted to have that conversation without trust, it could have gone very differently.
Absolutely. And so here's the reality, though. And so, you know, I am thinking of a couple situations with clients recently where there's this struggle, and I'm thinking of two separate situations, like the struggle where, you know, this person happens to be really good at, you know, we just agree to disagree. Mm-hmm. And I'm like that. Like, I don't have any more like super strong opinions about things. And so I can just, you know, again, I've practiced the skill of sitting back and, you know, maybe we agree to disagree, but there are some things that might hook me. And I'm like, wait a minute, why am I having a hard time agreeing to disagree? Mm-hmm. And so I was having this conversation with a client the other day, And there was an issue that was brought up that was so black and white, that was like, this is so true. Like, there's no gray in between it. So for instance, you know, we're the Rape Crisis Behavioral Health Center for the Midshore of Maryland. And when somebody is sexually assaulted, it's a no-brainer to me. If the person was sexually assaulted, that is not their fault.
Correct.
Black and white.
Right.
And so where I know that we need to do some work, and we were, like I was, you know, talking with this client, is if there was a hard time agreeing to disagree, what she had to do the work in was, why am I having a hard time setting the boundary with this person? Mm-hmm. The issue is not the topic, so it was around sexual assault. Mm-hmm. The issue is not around the topic of sexual assault. The issue was around, why do I get hooked with this person? And is it a certain character? Is it, like, for me, sometimes it's like men of, like, in positions of power. Sometimes I kind of like fall back and I'm like, oh, they're right, they're right, they're right. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't always mean that they're right.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so it's figuring out, how do I have a conversation with somebody? And if I disagree, how do I still have the voice? Mm-hmm. And what is it about that person that keeps kind of driving me to, I've got to figure this out. It's all about me, that I did something wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
There's so much in my brain right now.
I know,
now.
Right. So sorry, that was loaded.
So I think, you know, some nuggets for folks as we're sort of talking through some of this stuff. Like, when you're talking about agreeing to disagree, I think there's two ways you can agree to disagree.
Yeah.
You can agree to disagree because you're dismissing.
Mm.
Or you can agree to disagree because you've listened, you're curious, you've shared information, and you're agreeing to disagree in a positive place. And so I think that there's...
That's so true.
You know, sometimes we just sort of like agree to disagree, but there's no discourse, there's no communication, and you're agreeing to disagree because you're just pissed, and so you just want it to be done.
Yeah, like,
and
a so way it's to, like fine, a strategy let's to just avoid it.
Right,
yeah, yeah.
Like, let's not have conversation.
Yeah.
Or there is the idea that we can agree to disagree, but we've stayed curious enough to understand, and you might not, like, you know, when I say understand, I might sit on the total opposite end of someone politically.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to stay curious and learn to move that person to my side. I'm staying curious and I'm trying to learn more to simply understand.
Mm-hmm.
We still may end up agreeing to disagree, but for me, it's the difference between, are you disagreeing, agree to disagree in like anger or frustration or just dismissiveness? Or are you agreeing to disagree because you've just said, we sit in different places, but you're important to me. We just, this is a topic we're not going to move one another on. But thank you for sharing, so I have a better understanding of the why behind it. And I think that's the piece in the connection, because when you agree to disagree in sort of that dismissive way, that is absolutely cutting connection.
It does drive disconnection. You're right. Okay, so then what makes it so hard? I love that. As I was rambling and you like unpacked it so well, that's why you're such a good teammate. So why is it so hard then to sit back in that I agree to disagree because you're important to me. I'm not going to move you. You're not going to move me. But we can still be respectful of each other and our opinions.
Because I think it goes back to what you said is like, I've been hooked.
Mm.
And so if you've been hooked and you are sitting on another side of a conversation where you don't agree, if we aren't practicing and we are not conscious of the fact that we've been hooked, like, think about when you have an argument with somebody, mm-hmm. if you're hooked and you're sort of responding versus sitting back, usually that's when you need a timeout and we don't take it.
Right.
You know, it's that whole thing Brene says, that she's never regretted a time that she took a timeout, but she's always regretted when she hasn't.
Right, right.
So if we can take that timeout and if we could sit back and not get hooked, then we have the opportunity for staying curious and learning. When we're hooked, I believe that our response and our reactiveness puts us in a place where disconnection is inevitable.
Okay, so then the skill continues to be, I've got to be aware
mm-hmm.
of, again, whether I'm hooked or what lens I'm seeing things through, but there has to be this internal awareness in conversations, which goes back to what you said, is hard work. And sometimes, so, okay, so then let's go back to that, circle back to that. So sometimes I'm not in the space to have those conversations.
Right. And that might be a time where you say, we need to circle back, or I can't have this conversation right now. Or maybe it's a situation where you just know you're not ready to dig in. So I think it's also about, if you know you're not in a place to be able to stay curious, it's okay to say to somebody, I really want to explore this with you, but I can't do this today. I just said that actually to somebody yesterday. I said, I just don't have the bandwidth today to dig in this topic. So I need to address it tomorrow because I'm at capacity today. It's okay to say that.
Right.
It's totally okay to just say, look, this is a topic that's important and I'm not trying to move you. I know you're not trying to move me, but I can't get into this right now. Mm-hmm. That's different than, you know what, we're just going to agree to disagree and walk away. And I think in that, you have to know if you're getting to a place, whether it is the disengagement and you're sort of dismissing agree to disagree, or you disagree to disagree because you've learned information, you have to know yourself and learn yourself enough to know if you can walk away from the topic and be resolved. Mm-hmm. Because it's the moments when we agree to disagree, but we really haven't resolved that for ourselves,
right.
That it can continue to kick back up. So it's sort of like this experiment in ourselves of, can you let it go? Like, can you say, we're going to agree to disagree and we're going to move forward? Or if you find yourself continuing to be stuck and circling back to the conversation, then there's something else that has to be resolved for you in order to agree to disagree.
So I know we're coming to that time. Can we task people to try this? Because can we imagine a place where there is true connection, true belonging, because we are sitting in hard conversations when we're ready to have them.
Mm-hmm.
We're recognizing what we bring to the conversation. So whether we need to take a pause from the conversation and circle back, or we can dig into the conversation and respectfully say, I hear your point of view. Thank you so much. You know, this is just something I think we agree to disagree on.
Mm-hmm.
And not name call.
Right.
Not
right.
Put people down. Can we imagine if we walked into the world that way?
Mm-hmm. And knowing that there are going to be people who will not be able to do that, but setting an example different. You know, I think about like conversations that our children see on television or ways that things are talked about on TV. Can we set the example differently in our homes? Can we set the example differently with our kids? There's a sweet spot where children can learn to have discourse differently.
Mm-hmm.
And when we can sit in that settled place as adults, as family members, like, we know conflict happens. It is inevitable. It's going to happen. But that sort of challenge of, if you feel yourself being hooked, like, I think about the hook that they put on stage to like pull somebody off. If you feel that hook, you know, maybe one of the things that we practice in this next couple weeks till we're with you again is just, can we sit back?
So
and can
pause.
We take that breath? Can mm-hmm. we take that pause and just be able to think, okay, A, am I in a place to have this conversation? B, am I ready to have this conversation? And C, can I pause long enough to get myself in a place where I can be curious without judgment and without dismissiveness?
Wow, that's powerful.
So in closing, for us, this is I don't feel like this is something that we've wrapped up. Like, this is not one of those conversations where the package is here, it's wrapped up in a bow, and it's done. This is something where we'll continue to have more of these conversations and think more about connection. And here's the last thing that I'll say, is that I think there's a space where we know who we are connected to and where our circle lies. And so if you're saying like, okay, yes, Bethy Ann and Lisa, I will take your challenge in these next couple of weeks, make sure that you're sort of exercising and practicing these things with someone who you have trust with in mm-hmm. a circle. Like, we wouldn't recommend that you go to the diner where there's someone that you don't know and sit down right. and be like, hey, I'm going to try this out. But, you know, part of practicing is being able to say to somebody like, hey, I know we don't agree on this, but I'd like to explore this with you.
So here's the one thing that I'll say in wrapping up too then, is if you were able to make it through this whole podcast and there's a part of you that's like, these ladies are crazy, listen to that
mm-hmm.
because then your work is something different.
Yeah.
And it's maybe doing that other part, which is sitting back and just noticing and being curious yourself yeah. about what's coming up.
Yeah, for sure. So curiosity, connection, and leaning in with a pause. We hope that you will take some of this information and maybe think about some things a little bit differently, and we'll see you in a couple weeks.